I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
El Duncan, Pablo Torre, Emily Kaplan, Clinton Yates. If you could do one thing in your life, would it be Ja's posterization dunk or Ja's playoff game winner? I got a wild card for me. I'm off menu. Catching a foul ball while feeding your baby. Let's go around the horn.
Wow.
That is.
How about 60 goals?
Dad of the year, right?
I want to snatch someone's soul. I want to emasculate someone.
Number one dad hat in that man.
A lot of people being stunned in those videos.
Grizzlies, Timberwolves, the heat in this series is WWE level. Patrick Beverley was talking trash to Ja Morant. You can ask yourself, is that a smart thing to do? Though Morant has been struggling for chunks of this series, but a switch turned and it started with this dunk to end the third.
Ugh.
And then over the last 6 minutes, the Beverley taunt ushered Morant to 16 points and the contorting game winner. It was Anthony Edwards who gambled and lost to set up the play. L. Duncan around the horn to you. Don't need no usher to tell you Morant's got it bad. Are the Grizzlies proving they can take the next step or that it's been a battle here with Minnesota giving you pause?
Oh, give yourself 2 points for that Usher reference. I love it. Usher. You know what? I, like everyone else, always have a healthy amount of skepticism when it comes to the Grizzlies because I'm old enough to remember the core four and what they couldn't get done, just vacillating between first and second round exits. But I think that this Grizzlies team can go far. Why? Because I think they have a lot of depth. You guys are using it as a criticism almost that they sort of have been streaky, mm-hmm. that they've had to find different ways to win. They have the second most wins in the NBA, meaning they know how to win. And why? Because they've got depth. They've got so much depth because they play defense. When Ja was struggling, he was just locking down Anthony Edwards as his primary defender. I think AE only got one basket off. And of course, they rebound the ball. If it wasn't for Ja, this would have been named the Brandon Clark quarter because he was huge and getting those second chance points for the Grizzlies. So while I do think their youth will eventually bite them and the stretch, because I think at some point, you know, you being there matters, having that experience matters, but I'm actually all in on the Grizzlies right now.
All in. Clinton Yates, the way they have to come back in multiple games in the series, is that meaning more to you or giving you some pause?
To me, this is pretty much just a big win at home. El mentioned Brandon Clark and all the offensive chances they got. He had 9 of those offensive rebounds on his own. And even though Ja took over the fourth quarter, they still only won this game by one bucket. And that's ultimately what concerns me most about this team, is that they get hot, they do well at home, and then things turn over. When it comes to what this team is doing, I trust Ja himself. Immediately after the game, he said, we should beat teams like this by double digits, but we're just not consistent enough. If the guy who led the team back immediately after doing it is noting that his team needs to improve in that regard, and it's something that they can jump on, I'm going to trust him, and I think he's making sense.
Emily Kaplan.
I just think that the Grizzlies have totally demoralized the Wolves here. I mean, just think about what they've done. Minnesota came in as this heavy underdog. They're leading the entire game. The home team is shooting ice cold, and they still figure out a way to lose. And I just don't think that Minnesota has the emotional maturity to get past this. I also don't understand why they keep poking Ja Morant. Like, I get why they're doing it. It's not the NFL. You're not going to get a 15-yard penalty for taunting.
Yeah.
But it literally has the opposite effect. I mean, this is a guy who was, like, shooting cold at first, couldn't hit his free throws, was slipping with his shoes. All of a sudden, they start instigating him. He puts on his like Mike's, gets that dunk, and outscores the entire Minnesota team 18-17 to close it out. So
you're saying tactical mistake.
Like I said, they're winners.
Tactical mistake. To go after Ja Morant like Patrick Beverley did and the T-Wolves have done this series. But it's still 3-2, and a lot of these games could have gone either way. Pablo Torre, I turn to you now.
Yeah, that's why I quote a different Bane here, not Desmond, but the other one, to say, yeah, demoralization. The Timberwolves were born in this, raised by it. They know what it's like to be down. They're the worst franchise we've ever seen in American sports. And even in this series, Tony, we've seen the bottom of the roller coaster. Karl-Anthony Towns, if nothing else, has proven that he can bounce back even as he's being humiliated. He had 28 in this game, right? Of course, the look, the taunting, it's backfiring on him. But the idea that this series is over, no. I mean, what I get from this series more than anything, Tony, is that this is a bunch of really young, talented dudes discovering their power still. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards copping to the fact that he should not have gone for that steal at the end of the game. Of course he shouldn't have. John Morant struggling for 36 minutes. I don't know how this is going to go. I just know that ugly will be right alongside beautiful in ways that will be incredibly entertaining. So, yeah, the T-Wolves are still in this.
That was poetic, Pablo. L. Duncan, back in.
After that dunk that broke the internet, that has people saying it's the greatest playoff dunk we've ever seen, John Morant said it wasn't that impressive because it was just over a guard and that's not very hard to do. Sign me up for whatever that man is a part of. Yes.
Well, let's have that conversation again, because when I think of playoff dunks, maybe it's just me, they're all in the 90s for me. Pippen over Ewing, Jordan over Ewing, Starks over Grant and Jordan, Sean Kemp. But was this the best playoff dunk in the last 20 years, Clint Yates?
Ooh. I think it was. I got to admit that I was surprised when the NBA itself posted a video of all the great playoff dunks of 2015. People forget about Harden banging on Draymond Green. People forget about that Phantom of the Opera dunk that Embiid had when he came down on the Celtics, ripped the mask off and was like stalking through the crowd in Philly. There's a lot of good ones that have gone on over the years, but this one is better. Trust me.
Pablo?
Yeah, I mean, he reclined the seat all the way back on this one, Tony. Him cocking his arm back like that. What was missing was the Sean Kemp over Alton Lister, the double point afterwards, which would have been totally appropriate and also inappropriate. But the Russian judges, even they, have to give this a 10. Yeah, no question.
Pablo. Blackjack, 21 after the first word. Let's move on. You guys feeling a draft?
Whew. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily. Sure. 26 hours away. Nobody knows what's about to happen. Is anybody excited, honestly? All you heard about, teams are willing to trade down. I wonder what that means. But Jacksonville at number one, it's still up in the air. Trayvon Walker has become the betting favorite. Aiden Hutchinson, Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, Ekem Ekwonu also out there. It's a wide receiver draft, some say. Not a quarterback draft, others say. Pablo Torre, around the horn to you, at number one or beyond. What player intrigues you most?
Tony, if I'm the Carolina Panthers picking at number six, it is a quarterback draft to me, because there is a player out there who, yes, may lack pocket presence and accuracy and has a giant arm, but is struggling to control it. It's a dual
These
threat.
These don't sound like good things, Pablo.
Does make mistakes. No, but look, that is both Malik Willis and also Josh Allen, right? And so if I'm the Panthers, I'm telling everybody, hey, yeah, this kid sucks. I don't want Malik Willis. Secretly, I'm thinking to myself, the ceiling on him is exactly the ceiling that I need to save my own behind.
So it's not a quarterback draft, but it is a quarterback draft for you because of who Malik Willis could be. You know, he's got the highest boom possibility. Emily Kaplan, I'll bring you in here. You see it on Willis or someone else?
Yeah, I can't believe that Pablo said it was a quarterback draft. Literally haven't heard anyone say that. It is a cornerback draft, and Ahmad Gardner is my guy. I mean, this is a guy who started as a true freshman and in 3 years was targeted 124 times to not allow a single touchdown. This entire draft is choose your own adventure. If I'm a GM, I'm choosing the adventure of not allowing touchdown passes. Also, his nickname is Sauce because of his affinity for dipping sauces as a kid. That's get my intrigue.
No, in my family, we call it gravy. Clinton Yates, how about you?
It's got to be Kayvon Thibodeau to me. The guy came into college as one of the top players in the country, and I realized that his last season was a little bit marred by injury. But for all the big boards and all the measurables and all the things people have, the eyeball test is what this kid passes to me. When he's on the football field, you better account for him, and that's something I want on my team. On top of that, all the things that people have tried to say to count against him, he's not focused on football, this, that, and third. My man is a star waiting to happen. There are quite a few teams and markets in the NFL that could use a personality like him on their team, and I think that if he doesn't go top 10, a lot of teams are doing themselves a disservice.
Well, that's three different players here who are the number one thing they're most intrigued about. L. Duncan, how about you?
Yeah, I'm not really intrigued about a player more than like a scenario. I just want to see who's going to overreach and overvalue the quarterback position, because...
Well, Pablo Torre is. Exactly, I think we've established that, yes.
You hear Pablo, like, I think they're maybe intriguing, but not so much. This is the difference between being lonely and desperate. If you're lonely, you admit that you are actively seeking a companion. If you're desperate, you just grab at straws. So I want to see who's going to turn a snack into an entire meal.
Pablo, I think think you have to get back in here after that.
If I'm the Carolina Panthers, desperation is a compliment. Yes. Just make sure that I still have an opportunity to leave the club with somebody, Al, even though the lights are up and everything's very bright and scary.
Trayvon Walker, not mentioned by one panelist here, number one. Al, you may know him better than anybody here. Does that seem like a great pick for Jacksonville?
I think it's not sexy for anyone to say Trayvon Walker, someone who literally, if you Google him right now, six of the stories are, get to know Trayvon Walker, who could be the number one overall pick tomorrow. That's never a good sign, I think, in the intriguing factor. But I certainly think that the production part of it, that people are mincing, the thing they're quibbling over, I don't think that's an issue. He was asked to be used a very specific way at Georgia. I think he's more than a workout warrior and a combine guy.
Have you seen the first round? I'm not sure it's ever been quite like this. One quarter of the league doesn't have a first round pick. The Bears, the Broncos, the Browns, Colts, Dolphins, 49ers, Raiders, and of course, the defending champion LA Rams, no first round pick. Rams did finance a big budget mini movie to get their fans excited. If you're making a movie saying you might steal the draft, but don't pick until 104, Clinton Yates, are you bluffing or are you setting the table for something blockbuster?
I think there's something here. To get this out of the way, to answer your question first, I think the team that is most likely to make a change is obviously going to be the Chiefs, as they have the most picks. But if you're the Rams, you better do something on draft day, because if you got Tyrese walking onto my television screen, finding a way to remind me of the Fast and Furious, you know, soundtracks and everything that I love so much, if you do nothing on draft day, you will look like complete fools. Because part of the reason why people think this team is so good is because they've been able to do it without that. Plug and play, go on and so forth. Third round picks make differences in the NFL. Just ask Russell Wilson. But I hope if you're going to have this much of a blockbuster, you're going to do something in Vegas.
Duncan,
as well.
You're shaking your head no.
Because I used to work for the Hawks back in the day, and we would lure you to the games by promising you a T.I. concert at halftime, and then we would trot out for the rest of the time a 13-win team. So trust me when I say they ain't about to do nothing.
Okay, so you think they rolled out a video and spent the money. I would assume this is a big budget, 3-minute internet video, because they're not even going to move up in the draft.
They don't have to spend any money on a first round pick.
Yeah. Clinton, you did mention briefly Kansas City is a team you think with a big opportunity to break through. Pablo Tour, do you have one team or two teams? Or
I got two teams, Tony, because the New York area, man, you know how it works here, right? The draft is this existential experience. Four picks in the top 10, two for the Jets, two for the Giants. They could use everything, I think. Literally pretty much everything. So good luck to the tri-state area. Yeah, you could use cornerbacks, defensive linemen. Yeah,
Emily?
Go down the line.
Okay, what about the Packers? They have a ton of needs, but 11 picks, including two in the first round. And this is a team that knows how to draft. Last year, they had 9 draft picks. All 9 of them played in a game, including 6 who played at least 13 games. So I think that they can make a lot of decisions.
I think in the end, you guys were kind of feeling a draft. Just going to say it. Buy or sell on the other side. We're going to break down some video you may have missed from last night's game. Chris Paul into the crotchal region of Jose Alvarado. Will he be suspended? Next. Come on.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
In the Suns' Game 5 win over the Pelicans last night, check this out. Chris Paul's foot seemingly found its way into the undercarriage of Jose Alvarado, the chassis region. Pablo Torre, citing the Draymondian theorem, could this be suspension-worthy for Chris Paul?
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. I mean, look, Chris Paul, to be very clear, one of the great point guards of all time, top three, top five, easy. He's also basketball history's most infamous testicular terrorist. And it has to stop. It has to stop. We've seen him do this, what, four times? Julius Hodge, call him to the stand. When does justice get served to his victims? When
so like Draymond Green, who also, there was an accumulation and build up, and of course he was suspended for, hello, the NBA Finals, for that was kicking LeBron, kicking Jose Alvarado, get you suspended.
I feel like all men and all groins are created equal, Tony. It doesn't matter if it's Jose Alvarado or Michael Jordan. He deserves accountability and a suspension, Chris Paul.
El Duncan.
See, the things that Pablo had said, right, the history and the idea that Chris Paul gets a little hot-headed at times, had me all ready to have the pitchforks out. But if you watch that video, you guys, he would have to be Hidden Tiger and Hidden Dragon or whatever that stupid movie was where they levitated in the air in order for that to have actually happened. He didn't mean to do that. Y'all stop it. He would have had to have levitated. I think he was trying to initiate contact. But this idea that he was levitating, and as he's shooting, mid-shot, he's like, let me aim now directly.
Wow, I'm shocked to hear you, but Clinton Yates, bring you in here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is suspendable. As far as I'm concerned, this is the thing that Chris Paul at this point is known for most when you get to the YouTube highlights of the world. And he doesn't have any sort of plausible deniability here. Alvarado was getting on him all series, so we know he was mad. He had a good reason to do it, and he did it. That's why he's Chris Paul.
Emily Kaplan, is this suspension worthy?
Yes, I just want to be clear here. Draymond Green has been suspended for far less. I found this really rich considering Chris Paul is somebody who just complains to the officials constantly. And my reflex watching that was, wow, how quickly his reflex was just to go right there. It seemed very intentional to me.
Hell, I mean, we've seen this before. I mean, that's not a normal shooting motion. That's how they decide these sorts of things. But with the entire history here, as Chris Kamen, as Julius Hodge, I mean, there's, all right, L's not buying it. Okay. Look at that look she just gave us. We'll move on. Buy or sell two.
Maybe it's because I don't want it to come down to this for Chris Paul with all of the playoff demons. For this, for an Aaron kick, come on, you guys.
Buy or sell two. The Mets HBP'd pitches at a near record rate this year. They're being hit by pitches. It was a joke, and I just flubbed it. Doesn't matter. 18 to 19 games, Mets pitcher Chris Bassitt says it's because the balls stink, that baseball has a problem, that all the pitchers know it. And baseball doesn't give a damn. Bradford William Davis on the Insider, Business Insider, has been doing investigative reporting on different balls in the league as well. Clinton Yates, does baseball have a bad ball crisis?
Absolutely. Shouts to B. Willie on that story. What he points out is that back in October of 2019, baseball started using a different ball. Then they started claiming that COVID supply chain issues meant they had to switch to a second ball. Problem, they didn't tell anybody. So now with two different balls operating in one season, and then the third comes up where people are getting beamed all over the place, that's a huge problem. Figure it out and tell everybody while you're doing it.
Emily Kaplan.
Another example of baseball not being in touch with its players. When the NBA changed their ball, the players complained, they quickly fixed it. The NHL added player puck tracking. The players were like, oh, the puck's not right, so they delayed it. But baseball, with all of its issues, can't even get the baseball right. It just feels like way too
Pablo Torre.
No, this is a full-on controversy around the balls. It's a theme, by the way, running through this B-block so far. I will point out that baseball's kind of Goldilocksing this. They're trying to tweak fly ball turning into home runs. Only 10% hasn't happened since 2014. Has it been an 11? So, yeah, it's a problem.
L. Duncan.
Maybe Rob Manfred can send them some AirPods or something and make up for it, not caring, Emily, what they think about the ball. Listen, I'm inclined to believe the pitchers in this situation. Max Scherzer said last week it was like throwing a cue ball, and Chris Bassitt's watching his teammates get hit, and he's not siding with them. He's saying, yo, there's a problem with the baseball. This is happening. This is not on the pitchers. This is on MLB. I'm inclined to listen.
Clinton, they changed the whole spider tack midseason. Can you see them going to one ball midseason here?
In one season, no. Production stuff is just too hardcore, and this is the original problem to begin with. The question is whether or not you've actually got a third ball in rotation, which is, as Pablo knows, always a little awkward.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh.
Son of your wow. Testify to these matters.
Baseball. Okay. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. Austin Matthews, 59 and then 60 last night. Third 60-goal season in 20 years in the NHL, and the Maple Leafs, by the way, clinched home ice in the first round. Emily, what's the bigger deal, the personal achievement of a 60-goal season or the team's first round home ice?
The personal achievement. He is the most versatile shooter in the game. 28 of his goals were on wristers. The other have been evenly split between backhand, slap shot, snap shot, tip-ins, plus yet another 13 hit the poster crossbar. But also, this is a kid born in Arizona with a mom who nicknamed him Poppy because she is from Mexico. In a sport that's desperate to diversify, he's a super influential figure in the game.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, it's the goals to me, Tony. He's the first U.S.-born player to get 60. He's the first guy with a terrible mustache, which I relate to get 60. The playoff opponent, we don't even know it yet, celebrate the record that he's been setting.
Al Duncan.
He was on route to do this last year. He had 41 goals in 52 games. But I would tell you that I think for Maple Leafs fans, they'd say the thing that stands out the most about last year is what happened in the playoffs. Because you mentioned the last guys to do it in the last 20 years or so, right? Stamkos and Ovi. And if you ask them what was probably their career-defining moment, it would be hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup and not just getting the 60.
Clint Yates.
When Justin Bieber got up on stage in Toronto, he didn't diss those fans about what Austin Matthews was doing. He was talking about the playoffs. Until that changes, pop stars are still going to be getting on you, so you might want to get out of that first round.
You're still receiving the reward for the line of the show that happened before. Not enough to get you through, though. Cap, but Torre, showdown. 2 minutes.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Miami Heat finishing off the Hawks without Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry, as if there was a culture of increased temperature propelling them forward. Pablo Torre, Emily Kaplan, welcome to Showdown. Pablo, number one takeaway, if there is any, from the series.
Trae Young got zipped into a cargo pocket and was never able to get free. He hit a three off the side of the backboard, Tony. So yeah, Trae Young is my takeaway.
Kaplan?
My takeaway is the Heat's depth. They lose 40% of their starting lineup, 50% of their shooting, and then all of a sudden a guy like Victor Oladipo, and everyone thinks his career is over because of botched surgery, comes in and plays hero.
Point. Torre. We'll move on. Showdown two. Two terrible ways to lose last night. One, baseball. The Tigers came back and they thought they were going to beat the Twins, but had all these errors. Ooh. I mean, these are little league errors to end the game with a loss. And then on ice, Nashville Predators gave up this goal to Calgary with 0.1 second left in regulation and then went on to lose it overtime to the Flames. Emily, worst way to lose?
Oh, it's got to be the Preds because that's David Rittich. Why? Because Juuse Saros was lost in that game and because he's one of the reasons that they're in the playoffs with Roman Josi, and that's just a bummer that he was injured.
Mm-hmm. Pablo?
But, Tony, the baseball was a Rube Goldberg device of incompetence. It was everybody combining in unexpected ways to blow a game definitively. And that, to me, it's just a little beautiful.
Pablo Torre, 30 seconds of face time.
You may recall Laremy Tunsil from the time that 6 years ago his Twitter account got hacked and he released unwittingly a video of himself with a gas mask bong, and this sort of lost him millions and millions of dollars. Well, Laremy is back, the best NFT idea ever, all for cannabis prison reform, the last prisoner. He's releasing it, he's donating the money, he's turning the cause around for a cause, by the way, that should be actually taken seriously by everybody. It's funny as that thing was originally, a great idea.
We're off for the draft. 119 and a half hour break. See you Monday.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.